You are listening to the Back to the Bible radio broadcast, which is brought to you each week by the Creston and West Jefferson Churches of Christ. A warm and cordial invitation is always extended to you. There is no obligation placed upon you when visiting with us. The church in Creston meets just across from Roundabout Road on North Carolina Highway 88. The church in West Jefferson meets at 130 Robert Street, which is just behind the park in West Jefferson. Both churches will be meeting this morning at 10 a.m. for Bible study and 11 a.m. for worship. The church in West Jefferson will meet again this evening at 6 p.m. for another period of worship and again on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We welcome your questions and comments, which will be honestly and sincerely considered. Send them to us at Back to the Bible, 130 Robert Street, West Jefferson, North Carolina, 28694. Or they may be submitted online at wjchurchofchrist.org. We now invite you to open your Bibles and study with us as Tim Canup, the minister for the West Jefferson Church of Christ, presents another message from God's Holy Word.
Precept and promise, Lord, thou combining, till I shall vanish in eternal day.
Before we begin, let me remind you of our gospel seminar, which begins today through Thursday evening with Eddie Kraft of Elizabethton, Tennessee, with the theme, Do You Know Jesus? We'll meet today at our building at 10, 11, and 1:30, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m., and we invite you to bring your Bible and a friend and come study with us about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to turn our attention to the writings of John, and if you were to do any reading at all from the writing of men, there have been many who has referred to John as the apostle of love. And there's reason for that, because he used the word love in the various forms in the original language more than any other New Testament writer. Some 117 times he used one of the words for love. But interestingly, I was looking and discovered that there was another word that John used more than any other New Testament writer. And surprisingly, the word hate. I want to this morning to look at the usage of this word by the Apostle John, and he used it in a positive sense and a negative sense. And I want to break this down into three sections. If you are in the Gospel of John, I want to begin in just a moment in chapter 3, and I'm going to do more than normal. I'm going to let John speak for himself. We're going to do quite a bit of reading from the writing of John as we go through this, and I'll make some observations and comments, but I want you to see how John recorded, not only used, but recorded the use of this word. And the first way that he used it is in the sense of hating that which is right and good. Beginning in John chapter 3, if you will, this is in the discussion with Nicodemus, and we all know verse 16, so drop down to verse 17. And he said, For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Stop there. John here points out a fact of life, a truth, that there are those who are so in love with sin and wickedness, they hate the light because the light exposes them. Now, you and I are well aware, we look around this world and there are people living amongst us who would do anything to anybody, anywhere, anytime. We have no modesty. We have no shame in our modern society, it seems. What John is talking about is a physical light. He's talking about the truth. They hate the truth because it exposes their sin and wickedness. Go over to chapter 7, and Jesus was in Galilee, and His brothers wanted Him to go on to Judea for the Feast of Tabernacles. And in that discourse with His brother, He said verse number 6, He says to them, My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates Me because I testify of it that its works are evil. I believe we have a similar statement in this.
as Jesus makes application of himself that he is the light of the world and the world hates him because of the truth that he speaks. Again, let's go further into the Gospel of John, this time chapter 15, and the context of this is in that upper room. Jesus is observing the Passover with his apostles. Judas has been identified as the betrayer. He has departed to do his deed, and he is in this room discussing with these apostles that which is going to happen. The first part of the chapter, he talked to them about the claim, "I am the true vine, ye are the branches." And you drop down to verse number 18 and listen to what he says. He says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep your saying also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among you them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hateth both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hateth me without a cause." Jesus was the perfect, sinless Son of God who came in the flesh and in his teachings exposed the sin, the wickedness that was present in mankind. And they hated him. And they hated his truth. Go over two chapters to chapter 17, and this is our Lord's Prayer. This is still in the upper room. If you look at chapter 18 and verse 1, tells us he has not yet departed that upper room. He offers this prayer. He prays for himself. He prays for the disciples, these apostles, and the work they're about to undertake. And in this, notice what he says, verse 14. Praying to the Father concerning them, he says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." He was praying because he knew the reception they were going to receive. As they went out into this world preaching this glorious good news of salvation, they knew how man would respond. Now I want to step outside of John for just a moment. I want to look at a few passages in Psalm 81 and verse 15. Look at some of these statements that are made. Some of them are fairly brief. That reinforce what has been said here by John in the gospel account. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. Haters of the Lord, hate that which is good. Hate that which is right. In Micah, speaking of the false prophets and these wicked and corrupt rulers of the children of Israel, he said, "You who hate good and love evil." Over in the book of 2 Timothy, this time chapter 3, I want to back up to verse 1 just to get the context of this. Paul is identifying what is to come, not in our time, but in his time, and persist even until now. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 beginning, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be..." Now listen, there's not a positive thing said here. None of this is to be taken positive. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers." That word can be translated haters of good. There's not a thing in that list that I look at and say, you know, that's what I need to aim for. That's what I need to aspire to become. No. All of that is things that we want to avoid. And it identifies, as John uses this word to identify those who hate good. While you're in the Gospel of John, go back to chapter 12, and the second point is those who hate sin and error, wickedness, evil. John chapter 12, Jesus made that grand entrance into Jerusalem as predicted in prophecy, one of the many predictive prophecies concerning our Lord. And after that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, there were some Greeks that came to Philip. Verse number 23, Jesus said unto them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life, underline that word, will lose it. And he who hates his life, underline it, in this world, will keep it for eternal life. Now here's the interesting thing about this. In my studies recently for a lecture, I discovered that there are three different Greek words for life. One of the words John only used in 1 John, and it talks about, in one place it's translated as livelihood. The word that appears in the first two passages in first two times in verse 25, he who loves life will lose it, he who hates life, is talking about this physical life. This word is never used by John in the context of, as the third word at the end of the verse is a different word, and it is what John used to talk about eternal life, true life. John 10:10, give it more abundantly, he said. John 1, in him was life. John 20:31, that believing you may have life. This is the word. The first two is talking about physical life. The fact that my physical life was just as yours at one point in sin. And I can't love this life more than I love eternal life. Now, let's go over to the book of Revelation. There's no S on that, by the way, if you look at the text. It's not the book of Revelations, it's the book of Revelation. And in chapter 2, this is in the midst of those seven letters from Jesus Himself to seven congregations of His people in various locations. And what Jesus does is He analyzes them. Here is, if anything is wrong, here's what's wrong. Two churches didn't have anything wrong. One church didn't have anything right. He says, here's what's wrong, here's what's good, here's what you need to fix it if there's wrong. And in that first one, verses 1 to 7 is the church at Ephesus. You remember their problem? You've left your first love. Drop down to verse number 6. Here's what they had going for them. Here's the positive. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. This Nicolaitans, there's not much known about it. There's speculation. There are some who try to go back to Acts chapter 6 and that list of those first deacons that served the church, that this is connected to that Nicholas there, and that in some way he departed from the truth. If that's the case, if he departed from the truth, I assure you Jesus' sentiments are going to be the same. I hate this. Jesus, in identifying a church that left its first love, yes, you have something going, and what it is you hate whatever this deeds of the Nicolaitans is. Here's what I know about it. It's contrary to the will of God. I'm very confident in knowing that. If it was the will of God, God wouldn't say, I hate it. Jesus looked at them and said, you hate the deeds, and I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Drop down to verse number 12. I want to read a little bit more this time, backing up to verse 12. And this is to the church in Pergamos. He was told to write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with the two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, that's a good thing, and hast not denied my faith, that's a good thing. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. This is good so far. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. Stop there just a minute. Let me make this observation. There were some in their midst that was doing something that was not permitted, and God says, I hate it because you're tolerating it. We need to take a lesson of that. If I were to depart from the truth, you need to confront it and you need to try to stop that which is not according to the will of God. God says, I've got some things against you. You're allowing this. Now continue reading verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent is the solution. Repent. You need to fix this. Don't ever go to the churches in the book of Revelation, these seven churches, and say, you see, they had problems. Yeah, they did. And Jesus said, repent of it or I'll take away your candlestick. Fix the problem. Hate that which is evil. We are to hate that which is contrary to the will of God. Again, I want to step away from the book of John just a moment. I want to go back to the Psalms and Psalm 5. I've got just a few references here in Psalm if you want to follow along. Psalm 5, verse number 5. The psalmist said, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Chapter 11, verse 5. The psalmist said, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." Listen, the psalmist is speaking by inspiration for God. God is saying this. Go over to 119, that beautiful psalm, 172 verses. If you've never looked at that or studied that and how it's broken down, 22 sections, 8 verses each. Each begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Beautiful, beautiful psalm. And drop down to verse 104. The similar thing said in verse 128, we won't repeat it, but in verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." This is God speaking. If God hates every false way, how does He expect us to feel about it? You know the modern philosophy in our world today. We just agree to disagree. We'll just go along and get along. We'll just pretend it didn't happen. I'll pretend you didn't just say that. And here our God says, that's a strong word, isn't it, by the way? Hate every false way. If I may speak for our Lord based on the rest of what the Bible teaches, I believe it's because it'll condemn the soul of man that He loved so dearly that He paid the high cost of allowing His Son to die for. That's why He hates every false way. Psalm 97 in verse 10, "You who love the Lord..." He's talking to us now. "Yes, you love the Lord. Ye who love the Lord, hate evil." That's a command. "He preserves the soul of His saints. He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked." Amos, that powerful prophet, said in chapter 5 and verse 5, "Hate evil, love good." Romans 12 and verse 9, "Hate what is evil." You think about all of these verses and you think, I can't answer for you. I need to make application here. How does Tim Canup, you put your own name in there, how does Tim Canup view that which is contrary to the will of God? That includes sin, wickedness, evil, anything you want to put in that camp. How do I view it? If God hates it, would my soul not be condemned if I tolerated it? Listen, we live in an age of tolerance. We got those that want to slay the unborn. That's a sin. How do I feel about it? I hate it. We got those that want to endorse and shove down our throats alternative lifestyle. Listen, I'm going to make comment further about this in just a moment. God said it's a sin, and I need to hate that sin. Here's my point. We don't hate any sinner. There's not a sinner one that we should ever hate. There's not a person one that we should hate. I don't hate the homosexuals. I don't. I don't hate the abortionist. I hate their sin. Well, how do you parallel that, Tim? Tim Canup's sin. Yes, Tim Canup has sinned, and I should look at Tim Canup's sin and say, I hate my sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul's dealing with those that are not walking in harmony. Those who are in sin will not repent of it. He says, "You withdraw your fellowship from them." And then he goes on to say in verse 15, "Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Now, you don't find the word hate, you don't find the word love there, but let me tell you, I believe the thought's there, isn't it? Here's a brother, here's a sister in sin. You try to help them, you try to correct them. How do you treat them? Not as an enemy. You love them. You love their soul. You love their soul to death. But you can't fellowship with it. The Bible makes that clear. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Can't hold hands with sin and sinners and come out unscathed and be innocent. Let me tell you what's going to be involved in hating sin and hating error. We're going to have an absolute love of the truth. Go over to 2 Thessalonians if you're not already there. 2 Thessalonians 2. I don't have time to read this whole section. I'm going to abbreviate it. I'm fearful in our world today. Too many people, and even sometimes some Christians, love sin more than they love the Lord and love eternal life. And that's why they persist in sin and won't turn away from sin. Won't be honest with the truth. But look here. Paul is describing this man of sin, a falling away. There's a lot said about that. Look, this is not something yet to come in a future time, in a premillennial. This is something Paul spoke of then. There's two schools of thought about this. Some hold that this refers to the Roman Empire and the Caesars. I reject that. I don't consider it false teaching. It's a matter of opinion. I don't hold that position. I believe that it refers to the papacy, the popes. Not a specific pope. This man of sin is not an individual. Here's a man that has assumed authority for himself. He has gone away from the way of God. What does it say in verse number 10? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Why do people love sin and hate the light? Because they don't love the truth. They don't love the light. Buy the truth and sell it not. It should be that valuable and important. One last point from 1 John. And it's hating our brethren. Notice with me, and I want to read these. There are just a few references here, and they're a little lengthy, but bear with me. If you've got your Bible open, you follow right along. Make sure I don't miss anything, because I can do that. 1 John chapter 2. Chapter 2, I want to begin in verse 3. And I did this to get the context. You remember what has been said in chapter 1? If I say I walk in the light, and I do evil things, sin, wickedness, violate the law of God, and I claim to be in fellowship with God, a faithful Christian, I lie and do not the truth. You walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. We have an advocate. If we do sin, we have an advocate to help us fix that problem. Now, on the heels of that, he says, verse 3, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you. Which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother. There's the command. John 13. Love one another as I have loved you. You remember he says, if anybody says that he's a faithful child of God and he walks in darkness, he's a liar. Listen to what he just said there. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's a dangerous thing. Blindness, spiritual blindness, a dangerous thing. Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Here's a person that says, I'm a child of God. I love God. I love His church. I love His word. But you know, that fellow over there, or that lady over there, I hate them. We would say that, but you know what's here? It's there oftentimes. That hatred of our brethren. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Read that again. If you do not love your brother, you are not in a right relationship with God. For this, verse 11, is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? That's a good question, isn't it? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. That goes back to a previous point, don't it? Why did Cain murder Abel? Because Cain's works were evil, and Abel's were righteous, and he hated him. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Not literal, spiritually. Just as guilty. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Chapter 4, this time verse 20. Shorter reading. Last one from 1 John, chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God, you know, that's an easy thing to do if you stop and know what God has done for us. God has never at any time done anything harmful or hurtful to mankind. Contrary, everything God has done is for our good and our benefit. It's easy to love God. We've got songs in our book that we sing regularly about that, isn't it? Someone says, I love God. Notice that. If someone says, if I make the claim, watching, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, He is a liar. You never notice how much John uses the word liar? We don't use that too often. We don't tell people to their face, you're a liar. John did. If you claim your love for God and you hate your brother or sister, you're a liar. I can call you that, as Eddie Kraft says. God did. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. One passage outside of John, and it's Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. You back up and you see that he's telling Titus to remind these Christians of things they need to be subject to rulers. Verse 1, obey, be ready for good works. Verse 2, speak evil to no one. Be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility. Now watch verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You know, in time past that may have characterized you. The works of the flesh, Galatians 5:20. Hatred is a work of the flesh. You may have been like that. What about now? If you're claiming to walk with God, if you claim to be a Christian, what about now? Listen, I understand. Sometimes personalities clash. I understand that. I'm well aware of that. I'm not a psychologist. I have no degree. But I got enough common sense to know some people just have personalities that all they can do is butt heads and clash. There's sin on one or both parties every time. But you know what a Christian does? A Christian does, as Paul said in Philippians 2, and says, I must esteem other better than myself. And that will feed love of the brethren. And have enough maturity to try to resolve whatever it is. I got two quotes here. One from Ann Landers. Ann Landers says, hate is like acid. It can damage the vessel in which it is stored as well as destroy the object on which it is poured. Yes, that's true. H.E. Fosdick said, hate kills both the person who you hate, but also yourself as well. Hating people is like burning down your own house to get rid of a rat. We got enough sense not to do that, right? That's what hate does. The Bible teaches us about hate. Yes, we love to talk about love, but the Bible speaks about hate. There's things that we are not to hate. We're not to hate any person. We're not to have any ill feelings or hatred toward any person, not even the enemy. The Bible teaches, our Lord taught us, love your enemies. Well, that's hard sometimes, but we need to do it. We must do it. We need to hate sin, even our own. Oh, if we come to hate sin, as Jesus taught us to hate sin, it would help us stay away from sin. And there's things that we are to hate. As God said so plainly, I hate every false way. This morning, the love of God has provided a way to escape that destructive sin. There is a deceiver out there who has corrupted, has twisted what God... He doesn't want us to be saved. Satan wants us to be his for all eternity. So he's not going to sit back and say, well, God won, let him have them. No, sir, no, ma'am. Satan wants you. He wants every one of us. If you've not obeyed the gospel and been washed by the pure blood of Christ in the pure gospel of Christ, then Satan has deceived your heart. Yes, there are false ways out there. What do you think Jesus was talking about when he warned of wolves in sheep's clothing? False prophets. By their fruits you shall know them. Put them to the test. Just because a man quotes the Bible and has a smile on his face and can be eloquent in his speech doesn't mean he's speaking truth. You want to know what Jesus has commanded for you to be free from the bondage of sin? He's told us, and you put this to the test. I encourage you. I insist you put it to the test. Yes, we must have faith. Nowhere does it say faith alone. Except not by faith alone, James 2:24. If you have faith that Jesus is the Christ, then by that faith, why not obey Him? Why not come to Him and make Him your Savior? You can do that when you're willing to obey His commandments, to repent of sins, Luke 13:3, confess Him before others, Matthew 10, and be immersed into water where the blood that cleanses sin is applied. If you've not done that today, why not today? If you have questions, let us discuss them with you.
You have been listening to the Back to the Bible radio broadcast, brought to you by the Creston and West Jefferson Churches of Christ. If you would like to know more about the Church of the New Testament, or the commandments God has given that will add you to His church, or if you have a question about something we have said on this program, please contact us at Back to the Bible, 130 Robert Street, West Jefferson, North Carolina, 28694. Or you may call 336-846-5615. You may also visit us on the web at wjchurchofchrist.org. We thank you for listening this morning and hope you will listen again next Sunday morning at 7:30, and that your desire will be to go back to the Bible.